This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
Welcome to Nerd School.
Nerds!
Nerds! Nerds!
Yeah.
Suck it, nerd!
Nerds! Nerds! Nerds!
Visit me, daddy ass.
Welcome to Nerd School.
My name is Loki. Welcome to the Nerd School podcast. You jerk.
Welcome, Nerd Hive, to Comic Book Chronicles Unveiling the Origins.
This is where I present to one of the professors my book report on a character, my deep dive on a character.
And yes, and while Joe presents his book report to us, we, the professors and his TAs, will probably have something to offer. Maybe we will, maybe we won't.
Yeah, this is just like it sounds. We're jumping into comic book characters. We're unveiling origins of these superheroes. Where do they come from? Where do they start?
Where do they go?
Where are they going? Where do they come up with these ideas? Where do they come up with these ideas? Comic Book Chronicles Unveiling the Origins, a subset of the Nerd School podcast. And this time we're unveiling the origin of Dr. Occult. You may have heard us talk about this already. We talked about this Art and I were reflecting on a Heroes event on a previous episode, but we want to focus on Dr. Occult again and really unveil the origin. Go ahead and listen to Art and I talk about Dr. Occult. So the first thing from DC or Marvel is 1935, October, Dr. Occult and Rose Psychic come out in DC Comics. And he is, in a lot of ways, he is sort of a precursor to Superman. Because sometimes he's just wearing a trench coat and a hat, like a Dick Tracy type of guy. He's also dubbed the Ghost Detective. But other times he's wearing a red cape and a blue suit. And they've said he's sort of, this is like right before they decided they came out with Superman. You have to kind of, you can see early versions of Superman and Dr. Occult.
Well, you know, the creators of Superman, aren't they like co-creators of Dr. Occult?
Yeah, I think they're the same guys. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, they're the creators of Superman, but they also created Dr. Occult, who is an occult detective and private investigator, and he's a user of magic who specializes in cases involving a supernatural. And this first appeared in 1935, and this was the golden age of comic books, which I know you guys are very familiar with. The golden age and the silver age.
Bronze age.
What are we in now? What's now?
I forgot. You know, it's funny because me and Andy, shout out to Heroes Con, we'll be there this year.
Yeah.
Last year, man, Andy sat on a panel where this guy was breaking down the different ages and then also the kind of quasi new age that they have now.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I forgot exactly what it was. I'm sure if Andy was here, you know,
he'd spout it out. Yeah. And Andy can't be here today because he's too busy investigating moles on his body. He sets aside every Monday to just look at all his moles.
And so you're saying this is Mole Monday for Andy?
It's Mole Monday for Andy, so he's busy. But Dr. Occult was published by National Comics Publication and Centaur Publications within anthology titles. He's the earliest recurring, originally featured fictional character created by DC Comics that still is currently used in the DC Universe. He's commonly affiliated with the All-Star Squadron and has appeared occasionally in paranormal-related stories by DC and Vertigo Comics titles. So that made me fall down a rabbit hole of what's All-Star Squadron. Are you familiar with the All-Star Squadron?
When I was young, I used to read the comic books.
Yeah.
But like, so the All-Star Squadron, I want to say, is like, what would be the Marvel equivalent? The Marvel equivalent would probably be like maybe the Defenders.
Okay.
I would give, but like off the top of my head, other than, you know, just him and Dr. Occult, like I can see the characters in All-Star Squadron.
Yeah.
But then I can't remember, because like isn't, name a character.
That's what I'm looking at. They
I was
were.
giving this is one dude who looks kind of like Sentry, who's a Marvel character that's a part of them. I know, because like I said, I used to have like the like I used to like when I was growing up, I didn't care what comic book I had. I was just if it was a comic book, I fucking wanted it. Like you know, you go to the thrift store, you go to anywhere, you get it's like, oh look, there's a comic book. Let me grab one.
Yeah, so I guess they're different people. Like the All-Star
Yeah, different
Squadron
people. Yes,
is
it's like a Justice
included.
Society type thing.
Yeah, like the, it was according it was like after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, President Franklin Roosevelt gathered available superheroes, including members of the Justice Society of America, Freedom Fighters, Seven Soldiers of Victory, and solo heroes at the White House, and asked them to band together for the war as the All-Star Squadron. So I guess it included Superman, Green Lantern, Dr. Fate, and others.
Dr. Midnight.
Yeah.
So, and it's weird because like a lot of some of these characters from All Star Squadron were recently on Stargirl. Stargirl was also part of the Arrowverse, but Stargirl had like you had Catman, you had Dr. Midnight, who's Dr. Mid who was his name was Alan McNider, I think his name was, but his thing was like there's a Starman.
Okay, it was initially chaired by Hawkman, and the JSA members participated freely. The core of the squadron, however, was made up of lesser-known characters like Liberty Bell, Firebrand, Johnny Quick, Hawk Girl, Commander Steel, Robot Man, and the Shining Knight. And there's, of course, a Wikipedia page that's a list of all Star
And
Squadron members, but it's really long.
Commander Steel, his son, and I'm doing air quotes, his son was a part of Legends of Tomorrow, and he
Legends
played
of
a character
Tomorrow.
who could turn into steel. He could turn his body into steel, so
That's kind of
it's
cool.
weird.
So, yeah, so Doctor, that was Dr. Call was just one of these guys, but
One of
later, and
many.
that was like in 1981 they did this. It was like it's interesting to me because it's all about World War II, but it came out in August of 1981. Is it, you know, it just seems like a rip off of Captain America, like Captain America's World War II guy, you know, like
No,
not maybe not
you
rip off, but it's like.
by now you should have established that comic book characters, especially if they're done by certain people, certain author or artists,
Yeah.
it's like they'll like let's say if they go from this house, this comic house to that comic house, they bring parts of those characters and they do just enough where it's not like copyright infringement or I mean, you
Yeah.
have like Deathstroke and Deadpool kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's like
Like the
anything if you
characters like Wade Wilson, Slade Wilson. So it's like you get kind of
Yeah.
close, but then you tweak them just a little bit so they're different, but it's Pepsi Coke.
Yeah, 'cause
Just
you see
both
one thing
colas.
that you see one thing that sells, you make your version of it. So it's
Right.
like the well, we had the Ultimate Warrior and they had the Renegade in WCW, like which was
Right.
like the copy. You know, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then you had Goldberg looked exactly, you know, dressed the same. He wasn't the same style, but there's copycats everywhere, not just wrestling and sodas. But I think the cool thing about this Dr. Occult is at the same time, his sort of sidekick, a side person, was a female hero called Rose Psychic,
Rose Psychic, right?
a childhood friend and assistant to Dr. Occult
Yep,
at his private detective firm, the Trenchcoat Brigade. And after Dr. Occult died during battle, Rose had bonded their souls together, resulting in them sharing one body. So
right.
that's crazy to me to
Right.
hear
Not
about.
even, so and then so she and from and it's weird. Like once you mention this character, I was like, he kind of seems familiar. And
Yeah.
then I looked at him, I was like, okay, he's a supernatural guy. And I kept going like, okay, he's related, not related. He's from him and Constantine or Constantine, whichever way he wants to be pronounced.
Yeah.
A lot of the other mystical characters in the DC universe, like I mean, remember seeing, like just watching different shows and movies, and he would pop up, you know. And it's
Dr.
like
Occult would here and
Dr.
there.
Cole,
But okay. He's one of those characters. It's like if you watch, like I say, like Justice League Unlimited or something like that, and you'll see Plastic Man show up. You'd be like, oh shit, that's Plastic Man. It's like you see him,
yeah,
and he may pop up in one adventure or something, but you like, you know, he's a part of the Justice League.
I think that's,
but he's like Plastic Man.
That's what I think, that's what I love most about comic books. And I guess some of these superhero movies, but it's just that these characters, they keep using these characters. Somebody created in the 30s and they keep using, they're staying like true to the thing, you know. Right. They'll bring them back and they'll pop in, and you can just, and then you got online, you have these like encyclopedias that list the appearance of, you know, you look up one character and they're every single appearance, they are everywhere, and you can cross over it into everything. Like I can read a Plastic Man comic because Dr. Occult shows up in this episode if I'm a Dr. Occult fan.
Let me just tell the listeners that the wait is over. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR, is now live in North Carolina. Now you can legally bet on all your favorite sports anytime, anywhere, right here in North Carolina with DraftKings. North Kakalaki, baby! For a limited time, new customers who sign up with promo code QCPN and bet $5 will receive $250 instantly in bonus bets. That's promo code QCPN for Queen City Podcast Network. DraftKings has the best features, including same game parlays, player props, and more with fast and easy payouts right at your fingertips. I actually made my first bet already on Gonzaga. I bet everything on Gonzaga. There was a whole bunch of parlays about I took the over, I took them to win, I take all this other stuff. So I'm excited to try it. And it was a free bet. I didn't put any money into this bet. Well, I deposited money, but then they gave me a free bet, so I'm using it. Very excited. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using code QCPN and bet $5 to get $250 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code QCPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and used under license.
Well, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
So when I went, so I fell down the hole. I didn't go too far.
Yeah.
But I fell, right?
Yeah.
So I started scrolling through the Wikipedia page for them. You know how you get to the bottom, they'll show like they have like the footnotes, right?
Yeah.
Like, so when I usually, when I go on Wikipedia, a lot of times I read through the footnotes. The
footnotes are awesome.
Just to see what the article, whatever.
Yeah, because so then you'll be reading the whole article.
I clicked on one of the articles because I'm like, oh, cool. They made this mention. I forgot what the article was. I should have just pulled the Wikipedia page up. But like, I was looking at it, so I clicked on this article and they started talking about Dr. Cult and like his appearances and stuff. And then one of his most recent appearances was in a book called Rain in Hell. And I was like, holy shit, we talking about this shit. And literally, I have this damn book right here.
Really?
Rain of Hell. Is he showing up?
Yeah, you got that comic book right there.
Right. So the backup story to this book is Dr. Occult.
What?
And I was like, how ironic. And I see this book because it was sitting on top of my PlayStation, which is where I have my headphones at.
Yeah.
So every time we go to record, I grab my headphones. I see this comic. So I read the story but I hadn't read it yet.
Yeah.
So I read, like, okay, they say this is the backup story and this issue. So I read the comic, and it does the thing where it's like, you know, he carries around the this glowing orb, this red orb. You know, that was to say he mentioned he carries his black disc, which they don't show in this comic.
Okay.
But he has, like, the orb that he has that he got from, I guess they call it the Seven. And then, like, the orb.
Seven is a whole other thing, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So the orb is where, like, he'll sit there. Like, he was, like, in the comic, they were saying, they talk about what's going on in this miniseries. And he was like, you know, these two dead people are talking to him, like, yeah, you know, you're going to have to draw a line in the sand kind of thing. You're going to have to come out because things are happening on hell. He's like, well, what? And it's just like, in almost like in Constantine fashion, be like, well, what does that really have to do with me? He's like, oh, it has a whole lot to do with you. And he goes through this whole thing about, like, should I get involved? Shouldn't I get involved? Who cares if they, you know, called the herd kind of thing? Who cares? Who cares? You need the orbs. He's like, I came with you guys because this orb's been buzzing lately. And they make mention of, like, a self, they make mention of modern technology, which is weird because, like, here's a guy from the 30s.
Yeah.
And then, like, here it is. And he's been, basically, he mentions how he's been living on this world for a long time. Because, you know, yeah. He uses, like, something that de-aged himself.
This supernatural powers that make him never
so this
age
orb really that is. He has, he talks to it, and Rose Psychic comes out of it, like, an image of her, of a size of her, comes out of the orb, and he communicates with her, and she helps him on these cases and things. I'm like, oh, shit.
So
I got to find the rest of this miniseries.
So that comic, what year, what?
2008.
2008 is what it's
2008.
From?
2008, yeah.
Because it kind of like parallels what I found is on the Wikipedia page too, is that the Dr. Occult's origin was revealed in Secret Origins Volume 2, Number 17 in August of 1987, done by E. Nelson Bridewell and Roy Thomas. I don't know if they're comic book artists you know or writers, but they depicted him and his partner Rose Psychic being slated as human sacrifices at the hands of a demonic cult, but were rescued by a shadowy group called the Seven. And the two were later trained in the use of occult magic themselves. And then 36 years later, Dr. Occult opened up his own detective agency, specializing in crimes of a mythical nature. And during World War II, he joined the All-Star Squadron. And at some point, they say again, he and Rose become fused into one being.
Yeah.
And Dr. Occult has used sorcery to halt or greatly slow the aging process so that he appears in modern comics to still be a man in his late 30s or early 40s, even though he was born at the end of the 19th century. And so that's kind of the thing. It's kind of Captain America-esque where he's frozen at night, so whatever, from the 40s, and you can keep using
him. Another thing that came out of me falling down this rabbit hole is just, you know, skimming through the article, and they mentioned House of Secrets. And I was like, I know this. Then it got to House of Mystery. And I'm like, House of Mystery? So now I'm like falling deeper. And I was like, on Legends of Tomorrow, the last two seasons, they were living in the house. Because like Constantine, he joined the squad later in the series. But okay. They was in this house. It was this magical house dealing with. So I'm like, what the hell is this damn? I know the name of this damn house. Because then it's also in Constantine, I want to say, his animated series, animated movies. I think Dr. Cult pops up in that as well.
Really?
But this house is from, like, the House of Mystery, which is also, like, the twin of the House of Secrets, which has, like, ties to, like, Dr. Cult because it's all about mystic arts. But then Constantine and Dr. Cult, didn't you read that they were both a part of this? Trench coat brigade, because they all wore these brown trench coats.
Yeah, they dressed, you know, like 40s news reporters, guys, you know, detectives or whatever that everybody wore.
I just imagine, like, one of the, like, have you read any of these older comics, like, from that time period, they have that radio detective kind of speak. So it's like,
hey,
like,
she, yeah, hey, split the triple dicks.
Give me a cup of coffee, dang.
Say, Jasper, what comes out of 75? 76, that's the spirit. Yeah, so when speaking of the trench coat brigade, which is a whole nother thing that I never heard of, there was Mr. E, the Phantom Stranger, John Constantine, and I guess Dr. Occult. And I scrolled down farther in his Wikipedia page, and one of the modern age revivals was in 1991 in Neil Gaiman's The Book of Magic. I didn't know Neil Gaiman did comic books.
Yeah. Brant P. Fundack. He, you know, over the summer.
He was just a book writer, like a novel writer. Yeah. Like
last summer, he was talking about how he was excited when the Sandman TV show came out on Netflix.
Yeah,
he was like saying how great the Sandman comic books are and everything. But Neil Gaiman, he's done like, what's it? It's a lot of his books, you know, like are based on certain comics. But then he also does quite a few other comics as well.
Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't realize that. So that's why I was like, oh my God, he did something called The Books of Magic, which is a 4-issue comic book miniseries published by DC and later an ongoing series under the imprint Vertigo.
Which Vertigo.
I know you're familiar with DC and Vertigo. Like, that's a whole subsection of DC Comics.
As Andy, I think Andy mentioned this before too. Like, Vertigo was like, it deals with more like the dark corner of the DC universe. It's almost like how Marvel has like their Marvel Knights imprint, which deals with like the darker stuff, like Daredevil, Moon Knight. But like with Vertigo, you have like Sandman, you have Constantine. You would have like it would be something with kind of dark, and in some instances, sometimes kind of adult, geared towards more of a serious note, almost like Batman could probably have. Batman probably could have been moved. If he wasn't such a big part of DC, he probably could have been moved to like Vertigo, because he has that kind of like that darkness that Vertigo has, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And then finally I got to like the New 52, which I know you guys have explained a few times. And that's where he wields the powerful talisman, the sphere or disc with the black and white pattern called the Mystic Symbol of the Seven. Grants him the powers of clairvoyance, fighting exorcism, deflection, force field projection. I was thinking, I hear about the New 52 so much from you guys that I just wonder, like, if I was going to just start a comic book somewhere, should I just start with the New 52?
You want to have... Well, see, that's what the New 52...
Does that taint things if I haven't watched...
It doesn't, but it's almost just like with Marvel, they had Heroes Reborn. So basically what it was them trying thing, to pull in new comic readers. Now the way that they do comics, they found a way to like, okay, we'll have a book, but they'll tell you like, okay, this is a good jumping off point, a starting point. You don't have to know the whole history. You can just start this book at this series, and then but for you it's going to be tough. Because, you know, like, I know, like, let's say if I'm reading a book, like, a lot, like, even now, some of the stuff the reason I started reading the New Amazing Spider-Man series is because I was reading one book, and it was like, it said, see what happened and such and such. So then I went back, started reading those books, because, like, I wanted to be, oh, cool. Like, the Daredevil Chip Zdarsky run, which I've been starting from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Daredevil's got to a point, it's like, I don't just want to just start reading. Because this shit is ridiculous. I need to go back and start from the beginning and work my way up that way. But I'm just doing that with Daredevil. And then with Amazing Spider-Man 1, they're only on issue 26, and I'm on issue 8. So it's like, it's feasible. They're like, okay, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to read enough that I can get caught up to where I'm in the current run. If you fall down that rabbit hole and try to say, well, I want to start back here, and like, I'm going to start at the New 52. The New 52... was one of those things, like, when it came out, they had, like, new books coming out every week. It would be, like, certain books. Every week, it was a new issue coming out.
Yeah.
And comics are only, like, 20-something pages long.
Yeah.
But then, like, are you going to buy them, and then are you going to read them digitally?
That's the whole thing. I got to read them digitally, and I don't want to pay for them.
Right. You know, even if you read them digitally, like, certain books, like Batwoman, when that came back out, the way Batwoman was written and the way it was illustrated, you could get it digitally, but trying to read that shit digitally, it's one book now. I think I kind of stopped reading it because it would always have, like a circle, and it would have text written in a circle.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I'm reading it on my iPad or my Kindle, I have to sit there and rotate the shit just to read what's in a circle. Where if I had a comic book, it's easier to rotate a comic book. But when you're holding like a tablet, or you like I said, you read it on your computer. So now how are you going to rotate your computer to read shit? Black woman, Batwoman, her and her book, it had like wedges.
Yeah.
So it was like the way it was illustrated beautifully, but it was one of those things that was meant, like, it was literally meant to be read physically. Like, if you read a digital, shit would hurt your damn eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it's like,
That's
now you got to read it this way. Then you got to read, then like the thing slithers in like a little slice wedge. You're like, okay. And so and then with the guided view, it wouldn't come out right. Cause now like you tap in the screen and like, okay, it's sliding. Like, is this going the right? So it becomes tricky. But then, like I say, reading New 52, if you start a New 52, you'd be reading a shit ton of books.
Yeah, because they're so it's the New 52 is the whole universe, right? The all of DC. Right. It's not just.
But then, you get some cool because like you get to learn new, cool news stories, which they ended up just going through and destroying and decimating that, and then went back to some of the oldish. Like, yeah, well, fuck this new like rebooting the shit. We're just gonna take it back to where it used to be, kind of thing. Yeah. So you have to deal with that. So like now, like you're reading all of the stuff to get to know, and then. Once they ended in New 52 and they started up again, you're like, oh, wait, they went back to where it was. I learned all of this, but what?
Well, you know, maybe I'll just
Wikipedia.
Maybe I'll just, well, that's what I'm, yeah, looking at Wikipedia, but I'm just like, maybe I'll just grab, as we do this, go through the order of origins of people, and I'll just find a series of Dr. Occult and read that. So real quick before we got to end this because you got to get to work and we got to end this someday. I found a list of the Marvel comic book eras. The Golden Age was 1939 to 1956. The Silver Age was 61 to 70. The Bronze Age was 70 to 84. The Modern Age began in 84 to 97. And then they call it Heroes Relaunch 97 to 2004. Marvel Disassembled 2004 to 2012. Marvel Now is 2012 to 2015. All new, all different Marvel is 2015 to 2018. Fresh Start is 2018 to 2021. And then Timeless is 2021 to current, I guess. That's the Marvel comic book eras, but I don't see one of DC. And now Art is going to hum us out.
I don't know where this is.
Thank you for listening to the Nerd School podcast.
They say I can't rap about the president no more, but evidently they don't see we in the streets still poor. Still more incarceration of my kids by the prisons and people thinking this election to end it. Racism. Proud over pessimism, glad to see Obama, but don't expect me not to speak out when I still see problems, Mr. Officer. Now they POTUS look like me, you don't think again. We're seeing brothers rolling down the street every Martin Luther King on his American dream. Still a Rodney being beaten, screaming fuck the police. Me, I'm running through the pasture, trying to get away from master, but the dog's on my ass, I gotta move a little faster. Can't pass for Caucasian, but I got a couple papers from the plantation saying I graduated. Congratulations, cool beans, but to most school mean. Trying to dodge STDs, living off government cheese. Trust the government, please. Not even if it was me sitting in the Oval Office as Commander in Chief, trying to give us free. But there's a nigga in my ear saying, you got it, Superman. You ought to keep it here. Get this distinctly clear. I'm all about jetting. Raps Kunta Kinte without the half stepping. A new chapter, back with new lessons. After that, the final exam. Any questions?
PodcastNetwork.com.
Excelsior.